I desire your prayers. It's not a outstanding message, but I wish it were. I wish that I did not have human limitations. But when it comes to trying to express who God is, we are so limited. And we may feel something so deep in our heart, but to express it in human words seems so short. I just desire so much. It's almost like I've been praying for Sister Nelda. And I've been praying for the Lord to take a coal from the altar and touch her tongue and allow her to speak as she once did. But you know, we all need that. We all are needing a coal from the altar of the Lord, a burning coal to touch our tongues and loose us and make us free to be able to express the Word of God, or to be able to just even express our testimonies. We need it so desperately. Maybe we all need to start praying that way, seeking the Lord to have our tongues loosed. And what is it loosed for? Our tongues would be loosed to glorify Him. It wouldn't be for making a reputation for ourselves or to glorify ourselves. It would be to glorify Him in this age, in this time. So I desire that you pray that the Lord will bless His word some way this morning to each of us. I feel a great need. And I believe you feel a great need in the age that we're living, that we be able to be, like the song said, we still have that fire. We're not lukewarm. It's easy to get lukewarm. All you have to do to a crock pot or any electrical appliance that produces heat is unplug it from the source. That's all you have to do. And in a matter of time, that vessel will be lukewarm. And you and I need to be plugged in to the power source all the time. I need it. I know you do. So this morning we have a little title, but the title is Things Highly Treasured by God. You know, the scripture says, and I'm going to read it. It's the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and it's familiar to us, but I think that we have to start out with it. And it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I desire to have the mind of Christ, don't you? Don't you want to look at things like He looks at it? And don't you want to see like He sees? We can't do it unless He is in us. If He is dwelling in us, the scripture speaks about you and me abiding in Him and Him abiding in us. And that's the only way that I'm going to be able to see God for who He is and what He is and how He sees things, and how His ways are so much higher than my ways. So what I want to say this morning is seemingly so shallow compared to what it should be. But we know that God is the one and only God. There are no other gods. There are gods in this world, but they are not the God. They are not the one and only God. And there are no other gods that can even come close to this God, our God, not just a God. He is our God, and He is always trying to reveal Himself to us as long as we live. Every day, we should be able to look back 1 year ago and say, I know something more about God a year later. He's proved Himself. You know, I don't want to be redundant. But you know, I have said it over and over, and especially to the young people, to the next generation, to the generations before us, God proved Himself. He manifested His great power. He has done that to my generation. He has done that to my children's generation. He wants to do it now to my grandchildren's generation and my great-grandchildren's generation. Who is God? How does He value things? How does He look upon things? When I consider other gods, and there are many people in this world that are worshiping other gods and placing high confidence in them. I remember reading a story one time, a true story, and it was speaking about their God, some kind of an idol in an Oriental land, the Middle East, or wherever it was. They could not pray to their God like you and I could. They took their prayers and they wrapped them up. They wrote them on a piece of paper. And then they wadded them up and tried to get them wet. And then they slung that prayer. And if it stuck to that idol, their prayer was answered. Oh, we're not like that, are we? We know that our prayer, it can go higher than the ceiling. Even though there are times that you may not feel like your prayers are going any higher than the ceiling, it can, it does. God hears prayer, and no other God can hear prayer. There is a scripture that speaks about, I think over there in Job, about him having eyes that see and ears that hear, a nose that smells, a tongue that tastes. He is our God. He is very sensitive to His people. But there is not another God that has power like our God. There is not another God that has the might. Do you ever think about the might of God? He is a strong high tower to you and I. When we run into it, He will hide us. Thank the Lord. This is our God. And there is no other God that is holy. There are gods that were once men, literal men. And people are trusting in those men as gods, but they're dead. And they did not leave a holy record. But our God has a holy record. He is a holy God. And there are no other gods that has the integrity that our God has. Our God is a God of His Word. And the scripture tells us that His Word does not change. His Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you and I can trust in His Word. For every generation, His Word will be the same. if my generation leaves this world and my great-grandchildren's generation comes to the age of accountability, God will be the same to that generation. Praise God. So, what about his integrity? I wrote down here, it's eternally set. What does that mean? That means it's good for this time world, but it will be the same in eternity. It will not change. You will not get over into eternity and find his word was a lie. Everything he said about eternity will be true. It will never fail. I'm thinking of a portion of a song in our book. It says, change and decay in all around I see. Do you see change and decay in our world? Absolutely, we all do. But what does it say then? Oh, but thou who changes not, abide with me. Come and abide in me. Let me abide in you. Oh, that's how he wants. He is a great and a mighty God. So I'm going to think about, try to put my mind or thoughts. I've been asking him to give me his mind. But I have to start at the beginning. And I look in Genesis, the first chapter, and chapter 2 also. And if you read it and you study it, it should give you and me a glimpse of who he is and of what he is and of how he looks at things. If you read between the lines, I believe we can get another little understanding of what he was thinking when he spoke this world into existence, and it was so perfect. Don't you believe that what he has created is perfect? It has endured all of these years. It doesn't matter what scientists say, how it came about. Doesn't matter. You and I that believe in what he has spoken into existence, we're not worried. We're not losing sleep at night that all of the oil is going to run out and we're going to go into an ice age or we're going to be too hot, or we're not worried because we know he created it perfectly to endure till he comes back. And so we can trust in it. But what he did, everything he did, what did he say about it? I could change it. Oh, it says, and God saw everything, Genesis 1 and 31. Everything he made, and behold, it was very good. He highly valued what he made. He treasured it. I believe he's looking upon our earth right now, and he loves it. I think he loves what he created, all of the different regions of the earth, mountains, the deserts, the oceans, all of it. He looks on it still today and he said, you know, it's still very good. I just treasure. This is one of the things that God treasures, is what he has created for mankind. He did it for people to live in, to dwell in. If it was off 1 degree, they say that if it should get out of its orbit in the slightest way, that it would change the temperatures. It would change our environment. Maybe we wouldn't be able to grow food, but God, this great God, set it all on right in the right way. And he looked on it and he said, I treasure it. I value what I've made. I love it. It's very good. Now I'm going to read verse 4 of that same chapter, because for some reason, and I had it marked in my Bible, but I really hadn't just thought on it. And this is what it says. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. What does that mean? We think of generations having to do with people. But generations are ongoing. One generation gives way to the next generation. And that's the same as the earth and the heavens. And he called it generations. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. When they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So he set it all in motion. So that season passes. The trees go dormant. They go into the winter. That season passes to another season. And one generation after another of this earth, not people, of the earth. That's our God. And it's still ongoing. We have promises. He's given us covenants that everyone that has read the Bible should know something about. He set the rainbow in the sky, which there are groups that try to pollute that. But it's not polluted with you and me. He looked on it and he said, I treasure this. I treasure my promises to mankind. I will never destroy the people again with water. Now, is that saying he will never destroy the earth? No. We know from the word that there's coming a day that he will do it with fire. And the scripture says that. It's reserved. Fire is reserved to consume what he has created. And he will say, it is enough. This is the end. It is enough. So that is some of the things that came to my mind. But he created something else that was greater than all that we see, all that we experience on this wonderful earth. He created something else that was far beyond that. And even though he created animals and he created creeping things and fish and he created the heavens and the earth and created everything else, but nothing that he created that he called so good can even come close to this great valuable thing that he has created, that he treasures above the earth. And that was the soul of man. That was man himself. He did something with man that he didn't do with any other creature on the face of the earth. The scripture tells us that he created Adam in his own image, in his likeness. And therefore, you and I are still being created in his image, in his likeness. At our birth, he did to us what he did to Adam. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul. Something from eternity was instilled in Adam. When you were born and I was born, and we took that first breath, and we were declared to be a live child. We were not declared dead. But you know what we have? We have a living soul. Something from eternity. Something that is going to go back to eternity. This body, this flesh is going back to dust. but my soul. And he values your soul above everything else in this whole world. He put in his word, tried to get our attention. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Many people are giving things to exchange for that soul in eternity. But how do you value the soul? How does he treasure the soul? Because he wants it back. He wants your soul, my soul, to be where he is in eternity. And so when God gave this breath and we became a living soul, we were creatures that were treasured above all else. Would you give the whole world, if you could have the whole world, for your soul and exchange it? If you could give all of the treasures of the whole world, it would not be enough to value the soul in his eyes. God is looking on the soul with much pleasure and value, and it's a treasure to him. Yes. And so he says, all of this world is not worth one soul. How many souls does he have? So it's a piece of eternity that he has placed in you and me, and he highly treasures it. And it is given to us, and it will return to God. I have written down here how that God loves and highly values every soul. He is not prejudice. He is not partial. He doesn't, and I hope that we can get a balance to this little thought before the end, but he loves the sinner just like he loves you. He loves the drunkard. He loves the one that has committed crimes and murders. He loves their soul. He still places a high value on their soul. How do I know that? Because he says, I'm not willing that any should perish. It doesn't matter what kind of life that they have lived. He still desires their soul with him in eternity because he created it. He gave it. So every sinner, he loves, he feels the same about every saint. Do you feel special? Because you are a child of God, do you feel special? We should, because now we're going to have to talk about how he looks upon his chosen people. And I have several scripture I want to give you this morning. I believe the Lord, while he loves all, he does have a special love for his people. He highly treasures those that choose. See, this was another thing that he created in man. He gave them a will. You can make your own choice of what you want to do with your life in this time world. It's your choice. You can choose to take your own way. He will not force you to stop. He will not force you to turn around. Or you can choose life. You know the scripture. that he sets before you this day, life and death, and he says, choose this. That's his choice. I'm not going to turn and read over there. I don't think I have the scripture written down, but the scripture speaks about us being predestinated from the foundation of the world. And the enemy would like to twist our minds and make us think that there are some predestined to be lost and some are predestined to be saved. I was in that place. When I got saved, I really said to the ministers at the altar, I said, well, it won't matter if I get saved. I said, I'm one of those that's predestined to be lost. You know what the ministers did? They laid hands on me and rebuked that spirit. That's a lie from the devil. No one is predestined to be lost. Everyone in this world is predestined to be saved. That's his desire. He treasures that soul that he put in every man. So don't fall under that. You're not predestined to be lost. You're predestined to be saved before the foundation of the world. You know what the Lord treasures? He has a high value for those that choose life, for those that choose to live by his word, to those that love him, because the word says for you and me to love him with all of our heart, our soul that he gave, our mind. See, we're human and we've got all of these human thoughts and we're influenced by all of these things we see, all of these things we read, all of these things that we hear can affect us, can affect my soul. But when I resist the things that the enemy is trying to draw me back, when I resist that, he says, oh, what a treasure. This is one of my treasured saints. That's what he's saying. He loves it when he sees that you and I are choosing to please him more than we please our flesh. When we choose to walk in the spirit and not after the flesh. And we are in a war. We recognize it. We see it. We admit that there is a warfare that is going on, a spiritual warfare. There is an enemy to my soul that is vying for my soul. So when I obey his word, he says, what a treasure. I love it. I value it. So he places a high value on the saints. So now we're going to read some of his word. If you'll turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, we're going to go back as far as we can. I believe it's further than this, but this is a very wonderful passage that lets us have a glimpse of how he values people that belong to him. We're going to read 6 and 7. It says, thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Now, some people will read this and they'll read predestination in that. God chooses this one, but he doesn't choose that one. No, I believe the opportunity is for every soul on the face of the earth because he treasures their soul. Yes. He gives them opportunity. I believe every living being has an opportunity that they can choose God and not themselves. So he has a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. You all are special. A special people above all of the people on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. We look around the little chapel here and see all of the empty pews and how we would that they were all filled. And you know what? That's a joy to the Lord when he sees the desire of our heart. When we say, I'll just say this. Julie was working back in the kitchen a while ago and she walked around. I saw her, but I didn't think about it. And I heard the door open and I said to myself, Lord, somebody else is coming this morning. Well, it was Julie. Oh, that's not to say it was not important. That was important. But that was the desire. And the Lord treasures it when you and I desire others to have what we have. He looks on it with great value. So he's pleased when we desire every pew to be filled. But he's also pleased when it isn't and we still come. When we come and still claim his promise. When it is fewer than this and we still put our heart into it. Then he looks upon it and he says, that's a treasure. That's one of my treasures. That they don't have to have a full house in order to worship me. Thank the Lord. So you and I are a part of the fewest of the people on the face of the earth. And you know, we don't have to know who else is and who else isn't. The word of the Lord tells us this is the seal of the Lord. He knoweth every one that belongeth to him. That's his business. He knows how. Here's another scripture in Zephaniah. We don't have a whole lot of scriptures in the Old Testament, but Zephaniah, the third chapter, we're going to read verse 17 and then go back to verse 9. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Oh, I'll tell you, even though we're few in number, he is mighty. And he is in the midst of his people. And he will save. And he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Oh, I like that verse. It demonstrates how he looks on us as treasures, valuable. His work is valuable and a treasure to him. Now go back to verse 9. I had this underlined, but I'm not sure I've read it that often. It says, then will I turn to the people a pure language. He values our language. He values our conversation. He values our vocabulary. And I'm not saying you have to have a high vocabulary. That's not what he's talking about. But I declare that the saints of God has a godly vocabulary. We have terms that we say that we're familiar with. We understand what they mean. Somebody else may come in and hear us speak as we speak in prayer meeting. And they may wonder, what did they mean by that? Because the scripture has not been fulfilled in their understanding. But it's pleasing unto the Lord. He values it when our hearts understand a godly vocabulary. And it says here, he's going to give us a pure language that they may all call upon the name of the Lord. There's a certain way to call upon the name of the Lord. We need to be taught There are people that start praying and they just pray to God and never mention the name of Jesus, and they don't understand that the word of the Lord says, whatsoever ye ask in my name, there is no other name whereby men shall be saved. You can't just come and repent without evoking the name of Jesus. That's what turns God's attention toward your prayer, is when you say, Father, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus. And oh, let us all learn to use the right vocabulary and to lift up the name of Jesus before the Father. And in our Sunday school lesson, it talked about it being a sweet incense, a sweet odor. When you and I name the name of Jesus, it's just like if you lit a candle in your house and you may not necessarily smell it because you've gotten used to it, but you walk out and you come back and you'll have a sweet smell. But the Lord counts that as a sweet smell when we name the name of Jesus. And he says that we can call upon his name, the name of the Lord. And then the last part says, to serve him with one consent. I'm telling you, the Lord values unity. He values, he counts it a great treasure when he sees his people united in spirit, united in truth. He looks on it. It's a sweet smell to him when you and I are united. Now let's go to the New Testament, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. And it says, and ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. What adjectives to describe his treasure. He has a treasure in his people. That ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. You weren't one of his people at one time. I wasn't. Oh, we may have known about it. We were raised in it, so to speak. But there came a point that I had to have a vision for myself. I had to seek him for my soul. I couldn't do it on the coattails of my grandparents. I couldn't do it because I had confidence in this minister or that minister. I had to seek for this thing for me. I was not a people at one time, but you are now the people of God. You're a great treasure to him. He values his people, which had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. Oh, we're in mercy because he loves us. And he cares for his people. He's a keeper of your soul and my soul. He is the great God. He is the mighty God. Praise God. The next scripture is 1 John. And we're not going to near be able to cover all of the scriptures. This is for you to search out when you go home. The third chapter, verses 1 and 2. And listen to this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, do you feel like you're a son of God? Do you feel like Jesus is your brother? You know, Jesus is our brother. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. But he's our brother. And we can be sons of God. We can be daughters of the King. that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Believed, beloved, now are we the sons of God. What a blessing it is to be a son of God. And now I want to go to Colossians. I'm going to speak just a little bit before closing on how he treasures, how he values our conduct. Colossians. The third chapter, and I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 16. And it's instructions for us, and this is our job, but he treasures us choosing. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. See, we're God's elect. Holy and beloved. He calls you and me holy and beloved. This is what we're to put on now. Bowels of mercies. Why does he want you and me to be merciful? Because he is merciful. Because he had mercy, he wants you and me to be merciful to others. Oh, let us be merciful because we are his elect. Kindness. What about kindness? Doesn't the word say that the goodness, we could say kindness, of the Lord leadeth men to repentance? And so it has been because the Lord was kind to you. I think about the testimony we heard one Wednesday night. Several testimonies were so rich that night of how the Lord led each one of you to the truth. Oh, it was precious. It was so rich. That's the goodness of the Lord. And he's wanting you and me to be kind. So we're to add kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all of these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God, and that's what I want us to think about. Oh, he has a peace that passeth understanding. He has a peace that the world cannot give you and me. But he has it. He values it. And he looks on it and he said, there's my child. My child is going through some problems. My child is being troubled. My child is in affliction. When we're in affliction, sometimes our mind is troubled. But he says, I want to give you peace in the midst of the storm. Thank the Lord. He values the peace that he wants to give you and me. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And then he just simply stops and he says, and be ye thankful. Are you thankful this morning for God? For who he is? What he is? What he wants to be to you? How he wants to save you and me to the uttermost? He's not really interested in saving you halfway. He's interested in saving you and me to the uttermost. Oh, we don't have anything to fear when he saves us. His grace is abundant. And we know the scripture. It says when sin doth abound, what happens to his grace? It doth much more abound. It's whatever you and I face, there is grace for it. Thank the Lord. So, I have one more scripture. Malachi 3 and 16 and 18. And then we'll close. Verse 16, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Oh, I spoke about him treasuring our unity. Oh, when we come together and have prayer meeting or in our regular service and we have prayer, don't let your mind wander. Don't let your mind drift off to your duties of tomorrow or the problems of the past. Draw your mind in. Focus on the words that are being spoken out loud. I would like to encourage our congregation to be more in agreement of prayer. It's a burden to my heart. I believe it is a treasure to the Lord when he hears us agreeing in prayer. Just a simple, yes, Lord, amen, Lord, that's a part of an agreement, but let it not be just with the mouth. Let it be the heart. Let it hear the words and say, you know what the scripture says? He's wanting our prayers to come up before him as one man's prayer. That's part of the unity. There's power in unity. There's power in agreement. And when we all get down to pray and we're silent, I'm not saying that to be ugly. I'm wanting to challenge us. Press beyond your comfort zone. I remember when the Lord began to deal with me about being in agreement of prayer verbally. And even saying amen to the message, it was all connected there together. I want to tell you, God wants to look upon us as treasures. He wants to value it, and there's power that will work when we are agreeing with the message, when we are agreeing in prayer. But I remember when the Lord began to talk to my heart. This is many years ago. It takes exercise. First time I said it, I thought the whole chapel turned and looked at me. You know, that's how you feel. That's how the enemy wants you to feel. The devil wants us to be quiet. He wants that. I've often thought about Velda. Oh, Velda was a supporter of the message. She was a supporter in prayer. And I missed it so bad when she was gone. You can be one. You can be one of those. Yes. But you have to press beyond the flesh. Because the flesh is wanting to be quiet. So the scripture here says, we spake with one another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them. Don't you know what this book is all about? It's going to encourage us. It's going to be a report of what God has done in his greatness, how he answered prayer. I mean, that's how I interpret this book. I believe it is for the encouragement of the saints. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear him, fear the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine. He is going to claim you and me as belonging to him. Yes. Be a part. Say yes to the message. Don't you know, you've heard me say this, you can get some old messages at Monarch. I'm telling you, it's pretty quiet at Monarch. It's a shame. If we compare what the ministry and what the body was, how they supported the messages years ago, you can hear it on the tape. There was one that would say, "Preach it, brother." oh, that might not feel too comfortable to say that now. That's okay. Be in agreement. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day. Now, what day are we talking about? I like to think it's in the day of the Lord. He's going to claim his own. In that day when I make up my jewels, something valuable, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him, and then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Lord, help us all. May the Lord bless you each one. I'm trusting that the Spirit of the Lord took some of these words and let them sink into your hearts. Pray for me.